Welcome back to the Reading and Writing Podcast. I'm joined on the podcast today by Jeff Schechter, author of the new novel, The Daedalus Protocol. Jeff, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks for having
me. Absolutely. Well, if someone hasn't yet heard about your novel, The Daedalus Protocol, how would you describe the novel?
It's a puzzle-driven thriller along the lines of a Dan Brown Da Vinci Code type chase. A lot of the reviews that I've had have compared it to like a Mission Impossible meets National Treasure, if you're a movie buff. So there's a lot of really cool artifacts that have been hidden throughout history. So there's a chase on to recover some of those items, and they stop off at, you know, the Vatican and the resting place of Adam and Eve, the bowels of New York City. So it's a worldwide adventure.
Do you remember the original idea or impetus that led you to writing the novel?
I've had this like kernel of an idea for a story. Generally, it was the antagonist in the story is like an eco-warrior, sort of eco-terrorist. He's hell-bent on destroying humanity in order to save the planet. And the Daedalus crew, which is the group of people that I've assembled, are on a path to prevent him from doing that. I can't give too much of the book away. So I knew really how the rough outlines of the story would go. I knew how I wanted my story to end. And then it was really just fitting the pieces of the puzzle in between.
You worked in real estate development for many years. While you were doing that, were you dabbling in fiction? Were you thinking about writing fiction? What was that shift for you when you finally sat down to write this novel?
So I read a lot of fiction. I'm a voracious reader, and I love the page. And so I've always had an idea that, or an inkling that I wanted to write a book. I figured it would likely become a business book or a negotiation handbook type of thing. But when the opportunity presented itself, fiction just came calling. And so I had an opportunity during the COVID lockdown to be away from my office for the first time in like 30 years and be able to put pen to paper. And I started writing, and it just sort of flowed.
What kind of research did you do for the novel? I know that there's like ideas in here about AI and advanced technology. What kind of research did you do?
It's funny, you know, I had the outlines of the story, and I knew there were certain artifacts, and some of them are well known, you know, like the, as much as they're somewhat esoteric, but there's like the Fountain of Youth and the Holy Grail and certain puzzles that were hidden that were attached to what would be more well-known people or places, but the actual items themselves were constructs of my imagination. And so, again, I had a sort of the middle, beginning, and end idea, and so I would actually delve into a lot of conspiracy theory websites, which is a crazy rabbit hole for anybody who hasn't done that, and trying to look for sort of these intersectional spaces where a well-known conspiracy theory or some amount of literature has been sort of spilled about something. Maybe it's true, maybe it's not true. So I leaned into a lot of those to give like an sort of an air of legitimacy to a lot of the story. And so that there's a lot of world building and story building already complete when it comes to, you know, if you're talking like the Knights Templar, right? There's been so much ink that's been spilled about those guys. So if you were trying to bring an element of that into your story, while you don't have to bring the entire world of Templars into what you want to do, you could sort of tease a little bit or pick one particular facet of what that would have and then build upon that.
With your research into AI and advanced technology, was there anything that worried you as you were doing the research?
You know, it's funny you say that. So the AI piece of it, it plays a large role in the book, and it came across when I was reading it. I always, you know, in the back of my mind, I had like Jarvis from Iron Man. Mm-hmm. As an idea where you have this just simple conversational, I want to do this, and somehow the AI would know what you'd want. It would be able to process, you know, all of that and convert it into like actionable, not intelligence, but actionable actions, as bad as that sounds. And so it was a little bit of a leap when I'm writing it, but I'm like, it'll catch up. And then by the time I finish the book, you have ChatGPT and all these plugins and large language models are out. And now it's like the least amount of stretch is really to like, could you really have AI be this all-powerful, really simplistic conversational type tool? And, you know, fast forward not even a year from when I was writing it, and it's reality today. So, again, I try to keep everything away from science fiction, fantasy. Everything in the book is plausible, scientifically explained. The follow-up book that I'm writing right now is also the same way. I don't want to slip into science fiction, but I want to keep it right on the edge of believable, but still a really intriguing and unique story.
You said that you had kind of the
coverage varies by plan. View contracts and exclusions at endurancewarranty.com.
If you're driving a car or truck with an expired warranty and suddenly lost your transmission or needed a full engine repair, would a $4,000 repair bill leave you stranded? I'm Danica Patrick. Don't get caught off guard with a vehicle breakdown. Choose the company I trust, Endurance. No matter the mileage, if your vehicle is less than 20 years old, Endurance offers comprehensive auto protection plans for any budget. Protection on the drivetrain, electrical, transmission, AC, and more. Plus, benefits like 24/7 roadside assistance and rental car reimbursement on any plan. Endurance handles everything from making the claim through the repair process to paying the certified mechanic of your choice. Don't get caught off guard with a vehicle breakdown. Act now and get one full year of elite benefits, a $2,000 value, free.
Visit endurancewarranty.com for your fast free quote today. That's endurancewarranty.com.
Beginning, middle, and end in your mind for the novel. What was the writing process like for you? Did you write a chunk of the novel and then kind of think about it in terms of the overall like arc? How did that work for you?
Yeah, I mean, I had, like you said, I had the beginning, middle, and end, and then there was really just how do I get from this particular point in the story to the next? And a lot of it was really just simple plotting and putting one foot in front of the other and just going through it. As it was my first novel, I definitely leaned into, at this point, I could be self-critical, like excessive detail. And there's a lot of additional facts and figures and dialogue that I really didn't need to really get the story across. And so one of the first big developmental edits that I had was just trimming the fat and being a little more concise. And so the book's still lengthy. It's like 450 plus pages. And I like that sort of style. I don't like those really thin books where you just start to get engaged with it and then you're already in like the wind down phase and then it just sort of wraps up too quick. It's like unsatisfying, right? So I liked that I could write something that has enough meat on the bone that it's still, you know, it takes you through it. There's some character development. There's a lot of different characters, and I wanted to give each of them a time and space to, you know, achieve their place in the book, and so they stand alone as their own kind of characters. And then, obviously, the story that is the backbone of the novel. And then enough at the end that you could see how this, you know, eclectic group of characters have come together, and they have the tools and resources now to continue on for whatever the next, you know, problem is that they're going to face. And so that's the follow-up book that I'm writing right now.
What writing advice would you offer for those who are thinking about or working on their own stories or novels?
Write what you know. And if you don't, do some research. And really just to write. There's a lot of times where I was really frustrated that, you know, I would write a whole bunch of stuff and then I'd have to unwind it later on or it just wouldn't fit. But I found, as I guess frustrating as that was, it's less frustrating than not writing at all. And there's some days where you just sit down and nothing's coming to you. And I don't know if it's so much writer's block, but for me, when I wrote, and I think it might be atypical, but I envisioned this story and I would see, like, you know, I would see it as a movie. I'm a big movie buff too. So I would see a scene in front of me and then try and put it as, you know, proper descriptive detail as possible, and then help launch me into the next scene and the next scene. And so I'd sit down to write and have an idea of what the next, you know, 20 minutes of the movie would be like. And I'd try and get as much of that on paper as possible. And some days it's just a matter of writing just for the sake of writing. And if I was really, really stuck, I'd just come up with some sort of ideation points to, you know, something later on in the book, or here's another cool thing you could do. So that as long as you gotta keep the creative juices running. I did take a little bit of a break and I found it really difficult to get back into the swing of things. So I think just the consistency of putting pen to paper was really helpful. And it, and even if you're not writing something that's going to be, you know, and you think it's a little bit weak and you, it probably wouldn't make the final cut, it was, there's always some kernel of an idea or some character development that you get out of it that you can, they can use it and is still beneficial in the whole process.
Sure. You mentioned a couple of times that you're working on another novel now. Is that the sequel to The Daedalus Protocol?
Yeah. Yeah, it's a sequel. So I'm assuming this is like a 3 to 5 book series. A lot of my favorite authors have written. James Rollins is one of them, and he's got a very similar cast of characters. Ernest Dempsey is another, is a good indie author, and he's got, again, not as big of a group, but once you give these people their own character and their purpose in life and the resources and assets that would, you know, benefit some future story, it really lends itself to a sequel and to, you know, follow-ups that way, just because you've developed a lot of character and a lot of knowledge, and now you could, you know, you have this great asset, and what are you going to do to sort of help it grow?
What novels have you read recently that you enjoy?
Oh, wow. I read a lot. I read like at least a book or two a week if I can. I like Andy Weir. I think he's great. He wrote The Martian and Hail Mary. Hail Mary was an amazing book. I thought it was really cool for, and it's science fiction, which is really not my genre, but I thought it was just a really great relationship story. I'd highly recommend that one. James Rollins is one of my favorite authors. Jack Carr, one of my favorite authors. He's got a show now, The Terminal List on Amazon. He's doing fantastic. Ex-Navy SEAL guy. But just really descriptive writing, a really fun page turner kind of stuff. Justin Cronin, he did a really great vampire trilogy. And of course, Dan Brown was one of the first books. Da Vinci Code, I think, was one of the first books that I read a long time ago that really got me back into reading. Mm-hmm. And, you know, something that would turn the TV off and sit with a book. And so I think all those guys have really influenced my writing style, my characters, the way that I read.
That's great. Well, where can people find you online if they would like to learn more about you and your debut novel, The Daedalus Protocol?
So thedaedalusprotocol.com is the website. You can check out some stuff about me, about the book, some add-ons. I'll be doing some title releases for the new, the follow-up, etc. The book is available on Amazon. It's available in audiobook format on Audible. It's available on Kindle right now, actually, as a Black Friday promo for no charge if you're part of the Kindle Unlimited. So, and in almost every major bookstore.
That's wonderful. Well, again, we've been speaking to Jeff Schechter, author of the new novel, The Daedalus Protocol. The novel is available now, so go buy a copy. And Jeff, thanks for doing this interview.
My pleasure. Thanks for having
me. Absolutely.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed-sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.